We should pray for the message. Lord, we come to you today and I ask that you would make me better than I am and that you would use me, and I ask that you would unfold before us a pathway to miracles that you show us in your word, and that we should always read the Bible as autobiography because it's our story. So I ask that you would work with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture you have in your bulletin is one basic story that happens in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read to you down to verse 36, and then I want you to read that one with me. So listen for the word of God as it comes to you through this reading, and pay attention to what's going on in the, because it's a picture of an event. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" Now read with me verse 36. But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Now I want you to imagine this day. It was a very chaotic, confusing series of events in Jesus' ministry on that day. And it took place in a kind of a rapid-fire movie setting. And the Jesus is caught as he gets off the boat by a large crowd of people, just kind of like some kind of an animal. In the midst of that crowd gathering around him, a man named Jairus comes up to Jesus, begs for Jesus' help to save his daughter because she is dying. Jesus says, "Okay." And he goes with Jairus, and this great crowd of people, which I'm sure was like a flowing chaos moving around him. It must have been a wild kind of day. If you had been in the crowd, you know how chaotic experiences when you get with a lot of people can be. Then in the midst of all this pushing and jostling confusion, a woman sneaks up and touches his garment, and a miracle occurs. This woman is healed, but Jesus wants to know who touched him, because he felt power go out of him at that point. And Jesus said, "Well, who knows, Jesus? I mean, with all this crowd pushing and shoving around you, it could be anybody." The woman comes groveling in fear and tells him that it was her. And I'm sure that the crowd responded in more confusion and chaos when that happens. Not only that, but at the same time that Jesus is speaking, a servant of Jairus comes up and tells him that his daughter is dead. Jairus and his people probably were going to pieces in the chaos and the confusion exploded to new heights as this information began to sink into them. And it's at this point that Jesus turns to Jairus and he says, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Say it with me, will you? Don't be afraid, just believe. Now, I want you to see in this scene, this chaotic, confusing, highly charged and emotional event, the contrast between the way we think and how the world thinks and how Jesus calls us to think. The servants of Jairus, people like you and me, tell Jairus to leave Jesus alone because now his daughter is dead. There is no hope. So leave Jesus out of this. And this is the way we think, isn't it? We think this situation that I am in is a dead situation. This situation is a dying moment for me. There is no hope in this situation or circumstance in my life. And sometimes we say it to others. We say it to our friends. "Well, Bill, you might as well give up because this situation, this marriage, this job, this problem isn't going to get any better, and it's not going to change or come back to life. It's over, it's dead." And even if we have sense enough in some situations not to say it to Bill, we at least think it. Because we know how life works, don't we? Now, this is what is happening here in a day in the life of this crowd, this woman with a hemorrhage, Jairus, his daughter, in this cute, confusing, chaotic situation with Jairus and Jesus. It's a dead situation, a day in the life of this world. And it's the way the world thinks. It's the way we think. In fact, it's the way it is in reality. The world thinking is that in dead situations, don't even appeal to God because it is dead. And contrast our way of thinking with what God says to us and what Jesus says to Jairus on that day and what Jesus says to us. Don't be afraid, just believe. Say it with me. Don't be afraid, just believe. Today I want to talk to you about the pathway to miracles in our lives, in our life as a church, or in the lives of those around us. And let me tell you a simple truth that has to do with every single one of us. Every single one of us needs a miracle. If not now, then later. Sooner or later, we all need a miracle. I don't know what yours is or was, or will be, but we all need a miracle, sooner or later. And somebody said this great truth: in the long run, we're all dead, and nothing short of a miracle will get us out of this world alive. We all have, do, or will need a miracle. We all encounter dead situations in our lives, dead relationships, dead ends in jobs that we're in, dead ends in businesses or dead ends in marriages. There's all kinds of dead ends, situations in which we encounter death, which are out of our control and really our power to bring to life. And in this scripture, it is Jairus' daughter who is the dead situation. For the woman with the hemorrhage, it was her condition which was the dead situation. In the case of the woman, the doctors had put her through the ringer and had taken all of her money and fees, and she was still sick. Sounds like a modern-day story to me. She had been told to give up. It's no use. It's a hopeless situation. Jairus had been told that his daughter was dead. Give up. It's no use. She's dead. And into this chaos and this confusion and hopelessness comes the Word of God made flesh in Jesus, who speaks the Word of the Father. So read with me verses 35 and 36 up here, which you read just verse 36. Here we go. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Say it with me. Don't be afraid, just believe. The first thing we need to do when we need a miracle is to quit listening to the world and listen to Jesus. The first step on a pathway to a miracle is to quit listening to the world thinking around us and listen to God's word. Now follow as I read verses 37 to 43. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They're going to the home of Jairus. When they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, I have this bold in verse 40, but we're going to look back at this in a minute. But notice it's bold. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and walked, and she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Don't be afraid, just believe. No sooner had Jesus said those words when he took Jairus along with Peter and James and John, he separated himself from the crowd. And Jesus separated them from the confusion and the chaos that was already around there. I mean, he separated them from the world thinking, and he proceeded to the place where the dead situation actually was. Jesus put some distance between himself and the chaos and the confusion and the world thinking of that day. And when it comes to making a pathway for miracles in our lives, you need to read the scriptures as autobiography. I'm here to tell you it's our story in our lives, and there's a picture here of what we need to do. We first need to listen to Jesus instead of the world. And then we need to follow the lead of Jesus and separate us from the confusion and the chaos of the world around us. And when it comes to finding a pathway to miracles in our lives, we separate ourselves from the world, but we don't separate ourselves from everyone. It's very important to notice here that there were three disciples of Jesus who went with Jairus and Jesus. Sometimes when we experience the darkness of dead situations in our lives, there's a tendency to go it alone. But I'm here to tell you that if you go it alone, you are literally going it alone. And you're not going with Jesus. When it comes to finding a pathway to a miracle in your life, we need to remember that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. When it comes to finding a pathway to a miracle for our lives, and by gosh, we all need one sooner or later, we need to separate ourselves from the world thinking. But we need to make sure that we always have a few disciples of Jesus around us to make sure that we are indeed walking with Jesus towards the miracle. Now, when they arrived at Jairus' house, they ran smack dab into chaos and confusion again. They ran into chaos and confusion from the darkness of grief and world thinking once again. Outside the house of Jairus were this group of mourners, and I don't know if you've ever seen when people are killed in the Middle East, and the way people will go into fits of wailing, but some of those pictures may be a pretty good example of what was happening at Jairus' house, because this was the death of a child. Now, I don't know if you could see the scene in your mind. This was not a few people around the bedside of a deceased crying quietly. This was an explosive situation in the power of its grief. This was a 12-year-old kid that had died. It's one thing to see the grief for someone who has lived a full life, but for someone who has died an untimely or premature death, and especially a child, the grief can be explosive. And I've been around that over the years occasionally. Jairus was an important and influential man, probably a good man in the community as well, and based upon his response and actions towards Jesus, he was probably a good guy. So his friends were probably many, and many of them were present to enter into the tragedy of this dead situation. And we have Jesus and Jairus and Peter, James and John, and they're arriving and they're encountering the same chaos, confusion, and darkness of hopelessness at the place of the dead situation that they had separated themselves from by the lake. Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, says, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." And the Word of God is mocked, scorned, and ridiculed by the world thinking. And when it comes to finding the pathway to a miracle in our lives, when we come to dead situations with Jesus, we don't need outside help to come and say, "Don't believe that." There's a skeptic in all of us, isn't there? These were people close to Jairus. They weren't just a crowd. Some of these people of his own household, we don't have to have other people mock our hopes. Our own mind will rise up against the promises of God in us. And doubt lifts its head, and it speaks its word inside of us and in our household. And when it comes to finding the pathway for a miracle and making a room for that miracle, I'm telling you this, expect doubt to rise within and outside of yourself. But let me say this, it is a lie to say that you are automatically defeated by doubt when it attacks. Doubt speaking its word does not mean that you or I have lost the battle of faith. These mourners laughed at Jesus, which was probably the laugh of mockery and scorn because they knew the realities of life, didn't they? I mean, really, when people or situations or marriages or businesses are dead, they are dead, right? When people are dead, they're dead. What they didn't know is that when God enters a situation, even that which appears or is dead can experience resurrection. Now, I'd like for you to read verse 40, which is bold here. "And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was." They laughed at him. Jesus put them all outside. And if you think about it, Jesus put the world, the friends, the doubters, all outside. He took those who loved the child, the parents, into the room with the girl, and he took the disciples with him. And I don't know who of us here today might need a miracle right now, but we will all need one sometime. And some of us from time to time, I'm sure, this church, that's you and me, we may need a miracle one day. What do you think? And there is a great principle of faith here. In order for Jesus to make room for that miracle to occur, he put the doubters out of the house. He brought in those who loved and those who were faithful disciples. The miracle happened because doubt was driven out, confusion and chaos were separated from the need for a miracle, And those who were placed in the presence of the miracle were those who loved the child and those who walked by faith, the disciples. Pathway to a miracle in our own individual lives, our family lives, maybe our life as a church, is really pictured right here in this story. There's a picture of what is needed for a miracle to happen, and you need to read the Bible as autobiography because it's your story. What is needed is God's presence, divine love, like Jesus here, the faith of those disciples who followed where the Lord Jesus led them, and your love or hope for the situation or the person or the circumstance that is or seems dead right now before your eyes. Those three things: God's presence, faithful disciples, and your love for the dead person, situation, or circumstance. One last thing about the focus that is in this picture in Mark chapter 5. There's a lot of talk about faith as the focus of miracle working in our day and time. But I want you to see that the focus here in this scripture is not faith. The focus is on Jesus. The focus here in this scripture is not love, though this child's parents love their daughter. The focus here is on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith and our human love. At the end of this story is something that is almost humorous if you think about it. Jesus told the parents and his disciples not to talk about this miracle. Right. Get her some food. It really seemed a little bit ludicrous. This girl was dead. Everybody knew it. Then the girl gets up and she walks out of the room several minutes later after lunch. Now, there's no way that they're going to keep this quiet, and it is fairly clear to me that Jesus was no dummy when it came to dealing with people, and I'm sure that what he was saying was, just don't make a big deal about this. Today, we would give that girl a big testimonial banquet along with her parents so that she could give her testimony and also the eyewitness reports of her parents. Jesus also says, feed her. Jesus knew that people would know about this, but he also wanted those who loved the girl and his disciples to incorporate the miracle-working power of God into the normal things of their everyday living. The pathway to miracles in our daily lives should be something that is incorporated into our everyday life. And when a miracle is needed in your life, or in my life, or in a family's life, or in a church's life, what is the pathway to that miracle? When divine intervention is the only thing possible and the only possible hope in a dead situation that we might be facing. Now, the principles are these. I got them printed in the bulletin, the pathway to miracles. Number one, go to Jesus in the midst of the confusion and the chaos of the situation, and in the darkness of that time, ask him for help. Go to Jesus, number one. Then in the midst of that confusion and the chaos and all the world thinking that is around you, listen to Jesus as he confronts the world thinking when he says, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. Listen to Jesus. And third, as God separates you from that chaos and confusion and world thinking, make sure you are still walking with Jesus on that pathway to the place of that dead situation. And the way that you do that is to make sure that there are disciples of Jesus walking with you. Don't go alone. Boy, we are real good about that. It says, well, I'm going to walk with Jesus, but I'm going to do it alone. Well, if you're walking alone, you're walking alone. Number four, when you come upon that place of death, expect doubt to rise up from within you to mock you and mock the word of God that you believe, especially that word. And fifth, listen to the word of God again. And the best way we can do that is to be into the Bible, which gives us the word of God. Don't be afraid, just believe. The word of God will be like Jesus putting out the mourners who doubt. The word of God is kind of like a light shining in the darkness that drives away the darkness. The pathway to miracles involves removal of chaos and confusion and doubt. And when chaos, confusion, and doubt are removed, it allows the entry of love coupled with faith. In this picture in Scripture, a miracle occurs with people of faith present, people filled with love, the parents present, and the presence of Jesus. If there was ever a picture in the Bible that says Jesus can bring life into any situation that looks like a dead-end street, this scripture is it. In order for that miracle to take place, they moved out the mourners, the things, the people involved in the death and the doubt to make room for faith and love and hope. Now, if you turn back page to the bottom of page under 1 Corinthians 13:13, which we're going to read in a minute, the faith was represented in the disciples who followed Jesus. The hope was represented in the parents who loved their daughter and hoped for a miracle. The love was the love of God, which brings about the resurrection that Jesus is in any dead situation. So the pathway to miracles involves these three then: faith, hope, and love. Wherever these three abide, miracles happen. Now read with me 1 Corinthians 13:13. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Whenever these three abide, miracles happen. The word for somebody today is this, and I don't know if it's you in this first service or second service or maybe somebody listening on the internet radio. If you find yourself in a dead situation where you want the Lord Jesus to work beyond what any human engineering can do, a place where you need a miracle, and you stand in the faith that you are a follower of Jesus and you name him as your personal Savior and Lord, it may be internal, it may be financial, it may be domestic, it may be relationships, it may be business or job or vocations, it may be physical health, it may be emotional or spiritual in nature, that place where you need a miracle, whatever it may be, let us join together in prayer right now. And if there's somebody here what does not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, but today you want to come into his presence just as Jairus did and find him, then look and talk to me after the service. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I join with anybody here who may be listening, who is in need of miracle working power in their life. Father God, I join with them in this prayer. Lord Jesus, I want a miracle here in this area of my life. And Lord God, even that, as that prayer is asked, I join with this person in this second most needed prayer. Jesus, I am willing to make it room for it with your presence and your help. We come to you, Lord God, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.